Hallelujah. Are you ready for the word? Open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Praise you, Jesus. It says in verse number 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Tonight I want to talk about walking by faith, or the walk of faith. And in particular, the faith it takes just to walk. Science has declared that walking itself, the act of walking, is actually a series of controlled falls. Has anybody ever heard that before? Don't y'all watch the Science Channel at all? Walking itself is a series of controlled falls. When you go to take your next step, you don't get balanced on this foot, reach out, get, unless you're on, you know, a high beam or something, reach out, get the other foot, and then transfer the weight. Okay, I got this one. All right, and let me balance on this foot. What you do is you lean forward, you pick up this foot, and you're in the process of falling. Once you lift this foot up, you're already falling, and you're trusting your next step to catch you from falling. That's why if someone is walking and someone reaches out and as they're stepping forward and they trip that one foot a little bit, they're going down. Because your center of gravity of your physical body has already gone outside of that front foot, and without your other foot reaching forward to catch you, you'll fall. And I believe that gives us a very good image of what it's like to walk by faith. To walk by faith, you're taking a step, knowing if something doesn't catch you, you're going to fall. To live by faith means you're living totally dependent upon God's supply. You're dependent upon God's protection, His blessing. You're taking a step of faith that you're saying, if that other foot isn't out there, at the right time, in the right place. Because if you try to walk and you decide, okay, I'm going to take a step, but I think I'll put my foot back here as I step, foot's in the wrong place. You have to make sure your foot is in the right position to walk. And I might say this as well, before you can run, you got to learn to walk. And the word actually says we're to learn to run. Amen. We walk by faith, but we run toward the vision. So running toward the vision is the process of walking by faith in an accelerated fashion. And God's got a vision of the earth being filled with glory He wants fulfilled in the end times. Are you with me tonight? And we're those that have to learn how to trust God's word, that when He gives us a pull or a draw to take a step, we're willing to lean forward into the direction God has for us. See, when you're walking, you already, whether you understand it or not, you already start to lean in the direction of travel. You don't need sideways to walk unless you're drunk. Huh? Or a crab or a parakeet. We have a new parakeet in the house. And the cutest thing it does is it walks sideways. I've never seen, I don't remember Fred doing like that. You'll reach in the cage, and because it's still kind of skittish, you'll be on these bars, and it does this. I mean, so fast, he just skims across that bar. But I'm sure in doing so, he shifts his weight and leans in that direction. The point is, the direction that you're going to go, you already take your body weight, and you start to direct your momentum in that direction. And when God calls you to walk in a certain direction, when He says walk by faith or walk in love or walk in integrity, whatever He says to do, you start to lean your life, your physical being, in that direction. and you start to pick up one foot, meaning I'm leaving the position I'm in. I'm leaving the stability I have. See, when you stand on one place, you usually don't stand on one foot. Unless you're a stork. Bird night, I guess. You learn how to position your feet to keep your center of gravity between your feet to maintain your balance. And in that position, you're stable. People can push on you. You can push on things back. And you have a stability because your feet are giving you a platform to stand on. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's what we stand on. Amen. We stand on the Word. But when God gives you direction by faith to start moving, by faith you move from the position of faith you were in. You pick up a foot and you start to lean into the direction God's directing you into. Did you follow me? And you trust that you learned enough out of the Word of God that you're going to know how to use your faith appropriately to catch you before you fall all the way over. And in the process of walking, what you're doing is you're using faith every time you take a step. Not supernatural faith. But when you walk, you're taking a risk that really, you know, your foot's going to catch you. Those that have had inner ear problems, balance problems, those that have had some type of loss of coordination, when they walk, they are putting themselves in jeopardy. You know, we have a family member that had her one ear. They took all the components out of her ear years ago, did surgery and removed it. So she has very poor balance. And when she stands still, she's fine. But when she goes to walk, there's a risk. Because she doesn't know if she's going to properly maintain the balance in this process of controlled fall to get to the next step. So walking, she usually has to hold on to something. For a long time, she used a walker. There's jeopardy there. Well, you having trained your entire life in the process of walking, that little baby, when it's learning to walk, it's putting itself at risk. I mean, here's mom and dad sitting there with a little child, and they're saying, okay, now walk to me. And they're going like, I don't know. And then finally you convince them, I'll catch you. Just come on, walk to me. And here comes the baby, and the steps are like this. And you catch them just before they slap on their, you know, fall on their face. Amen. Unless you have a funny sense of humor. So, I was just kidding, I didn't catch you. Not good. You'll lose the baby's trust, right? They may not walk till they're 14. But you know that God will catch you. So God's saying, trust me, you've learned all your life to walk. You've learned how that if you'll shift your weight forward in this walking fashion, you have learned to coordinate yourself, that next foot will catch you. Did you follow me? And you've got so used to it, you don't even think about walking. How many of you, you know, coming in here tonight said, okay, now I got to get from the door to the chair. Let's see, what foot do I want to lead with? Amen. Shift weight, catch. Move over. Shift weight, catch. Oh, made it. Chair. Kind of like the first time you went ice skating or roller skating, right? You put your feet out, you pushed off the rail, and you kind of coasted, got to the rails. I made it, glory, to go back to the rail. Safety. Well, that's somewhat what living by faith is like. Now, to start off learning to live by faith, you're like that baby. You're learning how to have to think about everything you're doing by faith. Okay, I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to see the Word of God manifest. So, Father, I'm sowing the seed, and I say I believe I received. I expect the return on that. Father, you said by your stripes I'm healed. I speak that forth, and I stand on it. And you learn how to practice living by faith. You follow me? And you've got to see it manifest. It says in Romans chapter 5, talking about the cycle of faith, that after you've exercised your faith, then experience comes. Once experience comes, then you exercise your faith again. Amen. Just like in walking, learning to walk. You took the first step. You said, hey, I can put my foot there and catch myself. You take the next step. Hey, I can catch myself again. And you get to where living by walking is second nature. You didn't plan out how many steps you had to take today. You didn't think about whether you have to walk or not. You follow me? It just became automatic that you would walk. God, in teaching us to live by faith, amen, walking by faith, wants it to become second nature. Did you follow me? I mean, right now in the early stages, we're trying to use faith. It's like we really have to work ourselves up. Okay, God, my nose is running. You said I can believe I receive healing. You said I can go to the elders of the church, they'd anoint me with oil, and I'd be healed. I'd recover, right? You gave me all these ways I can be healed. Now I want to exercise this. I want to practice it. And what happens is you step out and start to exercise your faith for healing, and here comes God to meet you. Usually when you get in revival, it happens real quickly because you're in a honeymoon state. I mean, it's like the baby learning to walk. Mom's always there to catch him. Dad's always there to catch him, right? I remember teaching Lori to ride the bicycle. She'll probably correct me on this story because she tells it so often. So I'm not in trouble telling the story. She tells it all the time. And she had this little, you know, pink bicycle, I believe it was, pink and white. She's learned, and she learned how to ride it. She knew how to ride. I mean, I'd follow with her. I'd hold on. I'd do like this with the seat. And she's saying, don't let me go, don't let me go. And she was afraid to go by herself. And so finally, we lived in Lexington, and our house was on a hill like this, you know. And I don't remember exactly how it went, but we decided just to launch her. Lori and I. I said, enough of this. You can ride. I gave her a push. Next thing you know, she goes over the hill, whoosh, like that. Rides all the way down the hill. We had a huge backyard, down across the backyard. I think I caught you toward the end. Did I catch you? I knew you were screaming. Anyway, she's screaming, ah, you let me go. And she rode all the way. And you know what? From that point on, she had it. From that point on, she had it. In fact, from that point on, she didn't even want me to help her ride the bicycle anymore. Makes me sound like a bad dad, doesn't it? I was led of God. God told me to do it. But the point is, there came a time where she had to learn how to do it herself. You follow me? And what happened is, that first time, she's screaming like, oh no, I'm going to die. But then after a few times, riding the bicycle became second nature. I mean, when you're first learning to ride, you know, you're trying to get your balance, turn the fork the right direction, everything. But you get where, hey, you can ride no hands, ride backwards, whatever, you know. You've learned to ride and exercise that skill. Same thing's true in walking. Same thing's true in walking by faith. See, when sickness attacks me now, I've experienced God's faithfulness and healing. I've learned how to walk by faith in the area of healing. So what happens when there's a physical attack against me, I say, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I was healed 2,000 years ago. Devil, get off my head. I don't receive this. Are you following me? And I stand my ground till it goes, till symptoms are reversed. At least that's the plan, right? And what happens is I don't have to go, now, where was the manual for that? How do I use my faith for healing? I've already hit my head on the dashboard. You follow me? I've rebuked those symptoms. I rebuked them here a couple weeks ago as I told that story. Learning to use my faith for healing has become second nature. It's the first thing I go to. I don't run, oh, what did the doctor say? Doctor? Don't need a doctor to tell me God's healed me. You follow me? I don't need to go check my temperature 47 times to see if it's getting better. The Word says I'm healed. So I exercise my faith in the Word and watch God's power release to manifest it. Did you follow me? I've learned to live by faith in healing. I'm trying to make an example here. It's not where I'm learning, okay, now, what was the verse I need to confess? I've learned if I'll take that step myself into God's healing power, He's always caught me. He's always been there. He's always manifested. And I believe I have a covenant with God for healing. The same thing is true with every promise of God. We have promises in the Word that He would heal us, that He would deliver us from whatever. It's a promise. We have a promise that He would save our family. We have a promise He would bless us in our children. We have a promise He would rebuke the devourer. He would increase His financial, if I haven't said that one. God has given us promises for every area of life. And it says we're to learn how to live in these things. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, that you should fear not walking in all the promises. That until you learn to walk in all the promises of God, there will be unrest in your life. In other words, unrest is where you're not comfortable in the walk you're in. Unrest is from where, you know, you haven't learned to walk yet, so you get to the church door and it's taken all the faith you have to get to the seat. As an example. So you're coming into revival and God said you're healed. It's taken all the faith you have to get over, you know, that headache or get over that flu symptom or whatever. I mean, you're fighting devils, just getting over it. But you get where you can fight a devil with your eyes closed. You can fight off symptoms just at the seed stage, at the thought stage. Because most attacks come in the form of a seed before they ever visit you in the physical. The devil says, well, it's cold and flu season. You catch it right there. No, not for me, it's not. Cast that seed down. Amen. Says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. Amen. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. So what it's saying is in our spiritual warfare, we're not walking in a fleshly manner. We're walking in a faith manner. And every thought that comes your way that it disagrees with the Word of God, you capture it and cast it down. And that is the basis of true spiritual warfare. Now, there's higher levels. There's higher levels of locking horns with, you know, demonic power and stuff. But for you to walk in victory, you'll never walk in victory over any devil until you can walk in victory over your thought life. And that's where spiritual warfare begins. And you can't walk in the Spirit until you can take authority over your thoughts and not walk in the flesh. Not walk by reason, not walk by intellect. You walk by the Word. And what happens is, as you learn to walk by faith, I mean, you're needing financial increase. As I said, you sow the seed and you need a breakthrough. You just say, hey, I'm sowing the seed, glory to God. John Avanzini tells the story about he was, I think, $250,000 in debt. And they were coming to take basically everything he had if he didn't have this money. I think it was a church debt that he'd incurred or whatever. So they rounded up everything they had. It was like $40,000. And they sowed it. Took everything they could round, and instead of using it just to pay off part of the debt, they just sowed it into the kingdom. And within something like 3 days, the entire $250,000 came in and paid off everything. What was it? They took a step saying, God, I'm putting everything in on this, and if I fall, then the Word must not work because I'm trusting your Word to catch me. That next step you take, you're taking trusting the Word to catch you. Yeah. I've had multiple times where the devil says, you're going to die, and I felt like I was going to die. You follow me? Devil said, you better call the emergency room now or the ambulance. You better get help right now. Might as well go ahead and, you know, call the cemetery and make your arrangements. You're going down. And I've said, God, when I entered into this revival call, I said, I place my trust and my life in your hands. Now, this next step I'm going to take, I can either step toward the natural or I can step toward the Word. The voices I'm hearing saying, step to the natural, get to the hospital. But your Word says to step towards you. So, Father, I'm putting my life in your hands. I'm stepping towards you, and I trust you to catch me. And he's caught me every single time. when it was on the line. But understand, it wasn't just because I took the one step. I continued doing the word, following through with that momentum, with that motion. To walk by faith is more than one step. It's to live in a flow of steps. Walking is progression of every day, doing what God says to do. Are y'all with me tonight? So walking is a series of controlled falls. Faith is the same thing. Every day, you don't know what God has for you. Did you follow me? See, reasoning, walking by reason, walking by tradition, walking by form and formality is always planning out in advance your whole life out in front of you. Here's what I plan to do. Not knowing God may have a whole other path for you. Amen? Who was it said life is what happens when you're making other plans? Amen. Well, a faith person. Now understand, I'm talking to revivalists here. I'm not talking just to traditional Christians. I'm talking to those with a revival heart that say, God, I want to do all you'd have me do. When you say, God, I want to do your plan, I want to fulfill your call, you're saying, God, I don't know what the future has for me. Unless you give me a vision of it, unless you give me a view of it, there's no use me planning my future to too high of a low. Now, you can make retirement plans, you follow me. You can make plans what you can do on vacations, but your calling, it's in God's hands. You can even make a development plan what you want to do with your career. You can make a plan what you want to do with your business. That's fine. But you have to make sure that you brought your plan to God and say, God, this is what I'm going to do. It's what I'm endeavoring to do, but I give you liberty to adjust it. I give you, because if you don't learn how to plan some things, you'll end up accomplishing nothing. Right? But to live by faith means you find out what God has you to do for the next step or steps, and you start to set your momentum forward towards that. And every step may be a release of faith. When I said faith is a series of controlled falls like walking, then what you do is you say, God, tomorrow I'm getting up, I'm praying. You follow me? I'm going to get in the Word, and I'm going to trust you the time I spend there, you're going to spiritually empower me to accomplish your calling. I'm going to sow the seed and tithe. Like, how many know tithing is a step of faith? I remember the first time we tithe. It was like, do what? You know, Mike Huster, you guys know, a lot of you know Mike. Mike was raised up Catholic. He was an engineer like I was. We worked together. He goes to the Lexington Church. And Mike will give, he'll tell the testimony about when he was in the Catholic Church making all kinds of money. He actually calculated how much square footage he took up in the building every week, what the air conditioning utilities costs were for that space he took up. Amen. He calculated out that the expenses he took up every week were about $5. So he gave $5 a week was his gift to the church. What a powerful giver, amen. But now if you know Mike, he has a heart of giving. He gives radically to the kingdom of God. Amen. But the point is, tithing itself is a step of faith. That you're believing, God, if I give you 10%, I can do more with 90 than I could have done with 100 through your power. And it's true. Before we started tithing, Patty and I never had a car make it to 100,000 miles. Never. Now, that doesn't, the young guys are going, do what? Cars didn't used to make it to 100,000 miles. I mean, you go back in the 60s and 70s, if a car made it to 100,000 miles, you thought that is a wore-out piece of junk. And usually it was. Now they're just broke in at 100,000. But we never made a car make it to 100,000. Since we started tithing, we've never had a car not make it to 200,000. To my knowledge, zip on past it. And they refused to break down. What happened? The devourer's rebuked. Stuff doesn't break down like it used to break down. There's a blessing on which you possess. And, you know, I'm tempted to go into mathematics on tonight. But if you look at, if an appliance breaks down, how many tithe checks it takes to buy back that appliance, you're better off just tithing. And you're trusting God that tithing will rebuke that devourer and open the windows of heaven to you. God said He'll pour out a blessing you can't contain, and He'll bring revelation into your life through the tithe. That's what you do. So every time you come to church, you're learning to take that step of faith, tithe. I remember the first time we did it, and God showed himself strong that first week financially in our life, confirming it. But you know what? I've been tithing long enough. I'm trying to give you an example you can identify with. If you're a tither, you know, the first few times, the first few months, maybe it was like, tithe check. How much was it? That much? Now listen, I don't want to convict anybody here. I don't want to condemn anybody in what I'm about to say. But man, those first years, you'd do the tithe check, you'd calculate how much you made to the penny, and you divide it by 10, and your tithe check would be something like, you know, $54.17. Got that penny down, amen? Do you round up or round down, you know? Until you got so aware of God's blessing system, you just call 60 bucks, 55 bucks. You round it. You just round it up. In case I got some I don't remember, just round it up. Make it $100. Just bless God, here you go. That you weren't concerned about pennies with God. You recognize it all came from Him anyway. Now what happens is, those first tithing checks, you were like, now I'm going to take this step. Is it going to work? Take another step, is going to work, until you learn to get in the flow of walking in the tithe, and it became second nature. Now some of you would pass out if you thought about not tithing. Not tithe? You think I want God striking me? Are you following me? He wouldn't strike you down, you follow me? But you do pull yourself out of the blessing. All of a sudden, curse starts overtaking your life. I don't know how many people I've counseled, and they'll come in and say, Pastor Jack, my finances just aren't working. I mean, I've done all I know to do, and I just can't seem to hold a job, keep a job, don't know where the money goes. And I'll say, are you tithing? When I can afford it, then you're not tithing. Did you follow me? Tithing's not when you can afford it, it's the tenth. So the truth is, you, through your inconsistency, taking those steps, really, if you could see in the spirit, what is it? You take a step and you fall. You roll on the floor for 2 weeks, and you get back up, you tithe again, you take another step, but the next week you miss again, you fall on the floor. And you're putting yourself under the curse because you've not yet learned how to walk in the tithe. Now, I can use the tithe example because most Holy Ghost people have learned to tithe. It's one of the first things God deals with you on, that God deals with you on. He gets into your financial business with it. And you've learned to tithe, so you have an example now that you know, hey, tithe, just write the check. Just write, tithe, there it goes. Seed, write the check. You don't think about it. God wants that walking experience by faith to be activated in every area of your spiritual walk. He wants healing to become second nature. He wants you learning how to access supernatural joy becoming an automatic step. When you're feeling down, learning how just to rejoice in the Lord until joy comes or peace comes, you follow me? You've learned how to do it. You've learned how when you're weak, how to open the Word and get in the Word and let spiritual strength come. You've learned how to pray in the Holy Ghost for extended amounts of time. I remember when I first got saved. Now, I understand I was raised an atheist. Didn't get saved till I was 30. Been 7 or 8 years or more now. Or more. And I remember I got saved supernaturally. And we were catapulted right away into Holy Ghost Church. We went, tried to visit a few, you know, traditional denominational churches, but it was so dead we couldn't make it more than about 2 weeks. Because God had already exposed us to the supernatural. And I remember, you know, right away I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, within weeks of getting saved, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And I thought, that's neat, I can pray in tongues. And I'd sit at home and I'd get in the Word and I'd just get so full of God reading the Word because I was consuming the Word at that time. Still do. And I'd be reading the Word and I'd get so full of God I'd just start worshiping and tongues would come out. You follow me? I'd pray and all of a sudden I'd go into tongues. But usually I'd go into tongues maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes, you know, 5, 10 at the most. And I didn't know that tongues was any more than something when you got so full of God, you expressed your love or, you know, appreciation for Him. I didn't know it was a tool God gave me I could use anytime. I had to learn how to utilize the tool of praying in the Spirit. And I remember the first time somebody challenged me to pray in tongues an hour. An hour? They went to praise and worship for 3 hours first just to get it full enough to be able to do that. And we learn how, of course we do it Friday nights here, we learn how to pray in tongues an hour. I mean, that first hour we prayed in tongues, I believe it took 6 days. I mean, we prayed forever. Harabaso tokorobosita. My goodness, as the hour looked down, it's been 3 minutes. But now, until I prayed an hour in tongues, I don't feel like I've hardly gotten warmed up. I've gotten so exercised that realm of praying in the Spirit, I hope Friday nights I don't wear people out in it. Because we usually spend at least the first hour praying in the Spirit. And I know some people, is he ever quit? What's going on? And I'm not trying to edify myself. I'm talking about the faith development to walk in the Holy Ghost, to walk by faith. And what happened is, praying in tongues for an hour is actually a series of steps of praying in tongues 5 minutes, 12 times. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's just 12 5-minute periods. So you pray in tongues the first 5 minutes, you took a step by faith. And what happens is after you've done that, I mean, the first weeks or month I was learning to do this, those hours would take a long time until it became second nature. Now I pray in tongues hours a day. And usually not, it's even when I'm not even dedicated to doing it. It's just through my day, I'm praying in the Spirit all the time. Why? Because I understand when I pray in the Spirit, it says in Jude 20, but ye, therefore, building up, beloved, building up yourselves in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost charges your spiritual batteries. So I'm going to pray in tongues every opportunity I get. Now, are those out there that, you know, are in love with physical exercise? And there's nothing wrong with physical exercise. Amen. Don't think I got this body just laying around all the time. Amen. There are those that are in love with running and exercising and pumping iron and, you know, all this stuff. And understand there's a value to it for physical health. But there's more of a value in spiritual health. And there are those that can jump out and just go run, you know, run. Hey, I'm going to run 5 miles. 5 miles? I remember. Now, see, now people run marathons and stuff. They didn't used to do that. It used to be when I was in school back in the 60s, the 880 was a long run, half a mile. Anybody old enough to remember this? I mean, in gym, you'd run the 220, the 440, the 880, and the mile. An 880 was a long one. The mile was, are you crazy to run a mile? Nobody can run a mile. Now they run 26. You know? And people say, I'm going to go run 5 miles. They used to be unheard of. But people have exercised that area of their life in running. That running 5 miles is just going out for some meditation time. I'd be gasping for breath. Now, I used to run. Amen. I used to run. Amen. I actually won a triathlon one time, won my division. I was only contested. I ran the whole thing barefooted. Hallelujah. I wasn't too smart back in them days. Bottoms of my feet peeled off after I was done. That running, because you've exercised yourself in it, becomes easy. Anybody, any runners in here? You know what I'm talking about. You get in the flow, it becomes second nature just to run. Versus another half a block down. People that run, they become oblivious to where they're at. You can get out there in the realm of faith, you become oblivious, you're operating in the realm of the Spirit. It's become second nature. To me, to be at Kroger's praying the Holy Ghost, it's automatic. I don't ever go to Kroger's, I'm not praying the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm not talking to anybody else, so Patty's with me. I might as well talk to God. And I don't realize I'm doing it 90% of the time. I'll be in here praying in here all the time. Bowing, how the kind of people come, I'll be praying in tongues. And I realize, wait a minute, there's customers here. They probably think you're crazy. Oh, well. Think what they want to. I'm talking to God. So what happened is through that series of controlled steps where I said, okay, I'm going to learn to pray in tongues. I'm going to learn it. I know the Word says it's valuable. I know it says, you know, that we're to do it. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you know. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. So you take the step of faith. I'm going to do this. Launch out. And trust that you're going to get the Word is going to uphold you. All night, Friday night prayer. We mentioned this before. The first time we did it, almost 2.5 years ago, the first time we did it, everybody brought their sleeping bags, their pajamas, their blankets, their pillows. I mean, because we were used to at home, at 11 o'clock, you get sleepy. At 12 o'clock, you're hanging on. By 1, it's over. Amen. I mean, anybody know what I'm talking about? You know what time your physical body says bedtime. And we were going by the natural clock. I was expecting everybody to get tired. I thought if we make it to 2 o'clock with 1/4 of the people, we'll be doing good. We even talked about doing it in shifts. We did. We said, okay, we'll have a group pray. If you get tired, take a nap. Some others will pray. We'll wake you up later. You can take over. We'll try to make it all night with somebody praying. And we didn't know. We were unaware. We were about to take a supernatural step of faith. We were about to pick up 1 foot, put our momentum forward, and say, okay, we're going to pray all night. By faith, we're taking this step. It was faith for me. Amen. I mean, when I was 21, all night was one thing. When you get beyond 40, all night becomes a whole other story. And my youth is Renews the Eagles. I mean, I used to drive all night all the time in my 20s. This is my favorite time to drive. Less traffic. No sunshine in your eyes and stuff. Now, find me a room. But we said we're going to pray all night. So we shifted our weight and we said, okay, we're going to leave the safety of a good night's sleep and trust God to catch us. We shifted our weight. We put the other foot forward. And as we went into prayer that night, we just said, God, lead us. Something supernatural caught us. The caffeine anointing. We found out because we said, God, we're going to take a step of faith towards you. Something in the Spirit happened that energized us. And we prayed that entire night. I think I went till 6 or 7 in the morning. In fact, Connie came in like 6 and we prayed even longer then. And the entire night, nobody got sleepy. But we found out something supernatural happened. You that were with us have been praying. You know about it. And we pray always, God, let the caffeine anointing come on us without headaches. And all of a sudden, we'll start praying. You may have been working for the last, 16 hours. Maybe you got up at 3 o'clock the night before. But you start to pray, and as you just exercise your faith to go into it. Usually it doesn't hit until we prayed for a while. You follow me? Some of you took everything you got to come to all night prayer. You said, God, I know you're calling me, but I don't know if I can do this or not. But I'm going to just be obedient and show up. And you started to pray, and we start to pray, and the Holy Ghost start to worship God. And all of a sudden, it's almost like you can feel heaven open up. And whoosh, this anointing drop on us. And you're like, glory to God, is there a devil anywhere I can kick? Praise God. You're energized and couldn't go to sleep if you wanted to. What happened? You're learning to walk in a new realm. You're learning that God has anointings to meet you when you step towards Him. You step out in healing, there is a healing anointing. Meet you. You step out financially, there's a prosperity anointing. Meet you. You step out in intercession, there's a caffeine anointing, even a travailing anointing that'll come on you. Why? You stepped out. Now here's the problem so many people make. They say, God, if you want me to do that, just come on me now. Did you follow me? God, if you want me healed, you heal me here. No, God says, step out. take the first step of a controlled fall towards me, trust me that healing will catch you. God, if you want to prosper me, bring me money now. God says, no, sow a seed and trust me. Speak the word. Take that first leaning step into the supernatural, and God says, my word will uphold you. He says he'll uphold us with the right hand of his righteousness. God, I want to pray, but I just know I can't stay up all night. Well, you're really in faith, aren't you? We did it by faith. I tell you what, those first times were super supernatural because we were shocked at what happened. Now we're just used to it. Anybody coming all night prayer tomorrow night? I see a few hands going up. That's the plan. Does anybody, keep your hand up. How many of you expect that caffeine anointing to hit tomorrow? All of you. You know why? Experience. You've done it enough times, you know it's always been here. There has never been a night in almost 2.5 years, there's never been a night that it hasn't hit us. Hadn't come on us. Sometimes it took longer than others, but it's always come on us. Amen. Usually within the first hour. And you know it's going to show up. I know it's going to show up. Yeah. I know if I do a healing conference, healing's going to show up. Do you follow me? I know if I do a prophetic conference, the prophetic's going to show up. God said he confirms his word with signs following. In other words, what you preach, what you're activating, God says, I'll show up in that fashion. I know if we pray all night, supernatural refreshment is going to hit us. Yes. I know that now. I've learned it. I didn't know that 2.5 years ago. We discovered it by just stepping out and God catching us with it. Yes. And I'm telling you, God wants to teach us how to walk by faith in every single area, that you will learn how to get up off your chair and say, God, I'm leaning into you. I'm taking that first step by faith into your word. Trusting something supernatural is going to happen. Amen. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, for without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Without faith, you can't please God. So without getting up off that chair and saying, God, I'm going to trust you in the supernatural, you can't please God. Because sitting in the chair waiting on God to doing something is a declaration of unbelief that you refuse to walk. You refuse to do it. And God's looking for people that will step out, step forward, that will get up and just move forward and trust Him. Do you see this? Let's look at a few verses dealing with it. Genesis chapter 3. How many know we're made in God's image? Genesis chapter 3. And it says in verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Here it says God walked in the Garden of Eden. Amen. God would come down and walk in the garden. He's a God of faith. Amen. In fact, something as we go through this teaching, we're going to spend several weeks on it. As we go through this, I want you to get in mind that when you read walk or walking in Scripture, you can apply it to some level to faith. Did you follow me? To walk in the Spirit means to walk by faith. Because the Spirit is certainly not going to motivate you to walk in unbelief. Did you follow me? The Spirit's never going to tell you to walk in unbelief. He's going to tell you to trust the Word. Trust God. So to walk by faith is to walk in the Spirit. Let a connection be made in your understanding that walking also represents a life of faith. And I searched it out. The word walk appears in some form in the King James 390 times in Scripture. And the vast majority of them have to do with the people of God that would not walk after His ways. You read through and read about Israel, national Israel. And repeatedly God says, I destroyed them, or I gave them up to their sin, or I gave them over to captivity because they refused to walk in my ways. Now, when he says they refuse to walk in his ways, what God is really saying is they refuse to live by faith. Israel disappointed God because they would not trust God to provide for them and to protect them. They wouldn't go in and possess the promised land the first time because they didn't believe that God would supply for them and protect them to take that land full of the false inhabitants. So when it says in Scripture that they walk not after the ways of God, how we can apply that to ourselves is they wouldn't walk in faith. It's more than they walked in sin. They wouldn't trust God at His Word. To not walk after God is to not walk after the Word. And to not walk after the Word is to walk in unbelief. Are you guys following me on this? We're called to live in the supernatural. We were never called to a natural existence. We're called to live in the anointing and live in the presence of God. And you cannot do that out of the flesh. It's going to take a belief in what God has spoken. And here we see God walking in the cool of the day. What's He doing? He's looking for somebody to walk with. God is looking for somebody to walk with. Now I want you to understand this. I believe when you walk by faith, you're walking with God. I believe the Spirit of God in you is unctioning you to walk by faith, to trust God at a higher level. I mean, Jesus repeatedly taught on this. He taught, you know, to trust the Lord for your provision. Don't be concerned about what you eat or drink. Just seek the Lord, amen, and God will provide for you. Jesus spoke, if you just believe and speak to the mountain, it's got to be uprooted and thrown in the sea. Whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have it. Those were the words of Jesus. He came to teach us how to live by the Word. And to not walk by the Word is to walk outside the image and the direction of Jesus. So when you set forth to walk by faith, when you set forth your life to walk by faith, I believe you're allowing God now to go with you. Because God's route for your life is into the supernatural. It's into the faith arena. Meaning by faith, what I mean is you are going to believe the Word and live by the Word and live by God's calling. You can live into what God called you to do. And when you do that, God's right there with you. Look at Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. Look at verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. That's a year. That's a year of years. Amen, representing a cycle. And it says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, first of all, prophetically, when it says Enoch lived 365 years, representing a cycle, I believe Enoch was the first person ever raptured. Amen. And I believe God's dealing with the church, that cycle ends in the rapture. Amen. But it said Enoch walked with God, and God raptured him. He was caught up to heaven. In fact, it says in Hebrews 11, by faith Enoch was caught up. Amen. So here's God wanting to walk with Adam in the garden. Adam refuses it and instead go eat of the fruit. But God finds Enoch, a man who would walk by faith, as it says in Hebrews 11, walked with God, and because he walked side by side with God, God says, you know, you're so disconnected from this natural realm. Why don't you just come on up to heaven with me? And through the life of faith, through the walking with God, he became the first person ever translated to heaven. Praise God. God's looking for an end time generation that'll walk by faith. that'll just say, God, I trust to go after you, and I know if I go after you, your word will sustain me. It will catch me. Repeatedly, the word says that God would sustain you in the word. He would provide you. He would uphold you. Repeatedly. He's just looking for a people that'll shake off mommy's hands. Mommy's hands of tradition and denominationalism and fear and everything else. I'm taking a step toward God. See, I asked God, God, what steps of faith? I was asking him earlier today, what steps of faith can I take? Now, I don't want to take off and run without him. I don't want to launch out and do what he had instructed me to do. But I'm saying, God, what do you want us to stretch into? I don't want to be upheld all the time, in my little bassinet or stroller. Get me out of this walker. Let's lean into something. Do you follow me? And when we went to all-night prayer every Friday night, that was God drawing on me and said, take a deeper step. Take a further step. But God, that's patting my date night. Take a step. I'll provide. I'll make it better. Stretch by faith into God's plan, into His Word. Amen? So Enoch walked with God and was not. God's looking for people that will walk in Him in these end times. Genesis chapter 6. And let's go to verse number 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. That means righteous. He was a righteous man. And perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Did you know Noah is a type of the rapture as well? It's a type of the rapture. The destruction of the curse hitting the earth and God upheld, he translated above the flood and destruction, Noah and his family above that. And Noah became a type of the rapture. Amen. A type of salvation. Amen. But he walked with God. I want when I get to heaven to be known as somebody that walked with God. Now, sometimes we get into this area of thinking, oh, yes, I just want to walk with God too. Every morning I get up, I greet God and I say, God, go with me in this day. And I spend my whole day with God and I'm in His presence. That's wonderful. That is wonderful to be in God's presence. But you will never really walk with God and be in His presence. Not really in His presence. And God not stretch you into the calling. And stretch you into the supernatural. What good is it for God to walk with you and there's never any anointing on your life? There's just a flakiness in a lot of people. I'm just walking with God. Well, who's getting set free? What are the supernatural manifestations on your life? Where's the power of God? You've just learned how to get over there in la-la land and think you're walking with God. Now, don't be getting mad at me. Don't think at me with that attitude. Walking with God always carries anointing increase and it always carries a stretch into His plan. By faith. There will be stretches. And I tell you from experience, I have never been very long in the kingdom. God has said, okay, stretch again. Stretch again. Reach out here. See, you guys know, we've already stretched and claimed our next building. Amen. We've claimed what we expect this church to be like. Hallelujah. Stretch into it. And when God releases it, we'll go get that building. Hallelujah. Stretch. Genesis chapter 13. And here Abram is walking in God's direction to leave his family. I mean, it was a stretch. God says to Abram, leave your family, leave your homeland, go to a land I'm going to tell you of. That was faith. It says in Hebrews 11 again, Abraham went looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. He was looking for where God was sending him, stretching out. In the process, it says in verse 2, and Abram was very rich in silver, or in cattle and silver and in gold. And if we go over to verse number 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, now here Lot and Abram have separated. After the Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land that thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Now here God says, I'm giving you this promised land as far as you can see. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, so shall thy seed be numbered. Verse 17, arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then, verse 18, then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Now listen, Abraham had made the mistake in the past when he got to where God wanted him because there was a famine in the land. He panicked and he went to Egypt. Remember that? And that's where he picked up Hagar, who is still a thorn in Abram's side, right through Ishmael. And so Abraham had gone to Egypt outside of God's directions. He just fled there. But he came to his senses in Egypt, came back to where God sent him, and he's sitting waiting on God. God's dealing with him. You know what? If you're gonna fulfill this calling I have for you, there's too much strife in your church, too much strife in your camp. You and Lot need to separate. Well, here's family. It's believed Lot and Sarah were brother and sister. And he's got to tell his wife's brother, you're going to have to go somewhere else. I miss God even bringing you. I wasn't even supposed to bring any relatives. I brought you by mistake. We need to, in peace, separate. Did you follow me? So Abraham obeys God. And Lot chooses. Abraham didn't get up and go. Lot chooses where he wants to go. And after they separated, Abraham, seeking God, gets a word. Go to Mamre, which is Hebron, which is where he was in the first place before he went to Egypt. That was where God wanted him to go to. And it says, once he got the direction of God, once he got instruction of God, what he was to do, then Abraham went to where God sent him. Did you follow me? He didn't move till he got instruction. But then he moved. And God told him, now go walk through the land. God says, I've given you all the land. Now go walk in it. God says, I've given you all the promises. He tells us, I've given you all the promises. Now by faith, step into them. God gives the vision. He gives the promise. But it's our responsibility to get up off our seat, get up off of our flesh, get up off of our reasoning, and step by faith into what God will have us do. And it's going to be a stretch. I would love to sit down and write, just for my own personal edification, nothing else, all the stretches God's had us do. You know, a couple years ago, you've heard the story over and over again. We were broke. Lori had school bills due, and she'd call me every few days. Dad, they're telling me if you don't pay the bill by this date, they're gonna, you know, shut me out of class. You know, not the call you want to hear from your daughter. We didn't have any money. We didn't have any money. Didn't have any room on the credit cards. We were flat, pockets empty. So I put my car up for sale. I got to keep my daughter in school. I got to pay the bills. So I put the car up for sale, $5,500. And I had every person come by and say, I want that car. As soon as I get paid, as soon as I get taxes money, I'm getting the car. And nobody ever showed up with any money. At the Grace Advance on a Tuesday night, as the guest speaker is speaking, God says, I want you to sow that Camaro. And he says, sow it to Nate. I said, okay, I'll do it. But you know that was what I was going to sell to pay that bill. He says, trust me, sow the car. I mean, I heard him. I said, okay, so we sowed the car to Nate. And within 2 days, $15,000 came to me in the church. Five of the church and ten to me. I mean, supernatural money came in. What happened? God said, take a step. I'll catch you. So we didn't just pay the school bill. We paid off the credit card. Amen. We paid other stuff we owed. Probably went out to eat a time or two also. The point is, it was a step of faith. Amen. We sold a lot of cars. Sold a lot of jewelry. We sold a lot of stuff for breakthrough. And every time we have, God comes through. But it's a step of faith in a controlled fall fashion, trusting the Word to uphold you. Can you imagine what your life would be like if you'd never learned to walk? Here you are, you know, 44 years old, still in a bassinet. A little walker thing, you know. How limited life would be. How restricted life would be. And most Christians have never learned to walk by faith. And it's a boring, powerless, limited existence. God's got better for us. Amen. Well, that's the introduction where we're going over the next few Thursday nights. Amen. I want to remind you that